guys, every Tuesday night I do go through tape at home. Yep. I do compile the best of the best. This is what I came up with. Best lob of the night. It's Luka Doncic with the flick of the wrist finds Dorian Finney-Smith, guys.
Luka, now the Mavs lost this game. Luka had another monster night, though. That Mavs defense, though, Stack, for them to be a scary playoff team, they've got to, they just have to be mediocre defensively. You can't be letting the Spurs put up 119 on you. Just can't.
You can't do that, and I think they're missing that physical presence, that bruiser inside. They need another physical guy on that team.
Ooh. Steven Jackson's available.
Yeah. I'm not. No, I'm not.
Who do you want
to on get? To the...
Sorry, I got to think.
Best move Joe of the Kim night. Noah?
Oh, no. He got
Bulls rookie sorry, Kobe White showcasing the handles with a nice behind-the-back move.
Good game from Kobe.
First Listen, start?
Yes, and by the way, Bulls, play the kids. Play nothing but the kids. So, spoiler alert, you're not any good. You're not going to make the playoffs. Kobe White should be able to play 40 minutes a night if he wants
Why
to.
Why was it his first start?
Because they're a poorly run organization.
Very poorly.
Yeah.
All right, on to the best sidestep of the night.
Nice highlight, too.
That goes to Jason
Tatum.
Using the move to hit the deep
Look
dagger.
At that, Nick.
Nick Tatum moving up
Real
in your tiers.
He is, you know what? Jason Tatum did move up in the tiers.
Finally.
Back to the Tatum tier because he dropped off it. He dropped off the tier over the
weekend. You can't drop off your own tier.
He got renamed the Donovan Mitchell tier.
He's balling up.
He got renamed. He dropped off it over the weekend, but because...
Whose tier did he drop onto?
Oh, the that next tier?
The A-all tier.
No, there's a name for it. The Kyle Lowry tier. That's the tiers.
Oh, wow.
It's not a bad tier. Who's it's good on players. What?
Jason Tatum's on the Kyle Lowry.
No, now he's back
he's
on
back
that
up.
Tier.
Oh,
there is I'm the saying tiers. He had dropped down
we
after his bad
Wright
weekend.
On the
there's another
we can
tier.
Ask him about the
yeah,
Kyle
there's,
Lowry tier.
There's infinite, not infinite.
No, it goes all the way down to like.
It's a 458.
Yeah. Best poster of the night goes to Knicks guy Andrew Wiggins, dunking all over Ivica Zubac.
Hey, shout out to Wiggins. At least he played.
That's right.
Draymond couldn't
shout
play.
Out.
Steph's
he
still
did
under
job.
The weather. Obviously, the Warriors are going to be undermanned against a near full strength Clipper team. Lou Williams didn't play, was the only one. Nice highlight by Wiggs. It's a good highlight.
Look at this. You're growing.
Eaton's
what do you mean?
Grow.
Who's
well,
growing?
You're growing emotionally about.
hey, Stack. Maybe people won't get mad when Stack says it. Is Wiggins good?
Man, y'all know I had my own little thing with him on Instagram when him and Jimmy. Yeah. Well, I was going at it, but what I said about the kids, I love him. He has a lot of talent. I just want to see him play with more passion because I think he has something in him. He just can't get it out.
Okay, that's a nice
you said
way.
It that
so
way.
I was going to say, is that a nice way of saying?
I did not say it like that on Instagram.
Villanova head coach, friend of the show, Jay
Our
Wright.
Guy. It's been a long guys. Time. Good to see you.
Oh, we're all, hey, we are Why just pumping away.
Bumping.
Fist bumping.
Jenna. Bumping. My goodness.
Now that we're doing it, I got to get the
there
vocab correct. Coach, this is the youngest team you've had in a while, and yet you guys are the two seed in the conference. What has that adjustment been like for you?
Grays, man.
Grays. I'm telling you.
They're coming. They're coming. We try to do everything in our program not to be young. You know, we want experienced
sure.
players.
But it's hard in today's college basketball game to keep players until they're a little bit older.
It is, and we've tried to work through that, and we had the four, after our 18 championship, four guys left, and that's what kind of caught us a little young. So anyway, we got through it. It has been different. A lot of teaching. Going into this tournament, we usually have some veteran guys that have played in Madison Square Garden that have been through this, and we got a lot of new guys going through it for the first time. So this is a unique Big East tournament for us.
All right, so everyone on your roster is undefeated in this tournament, right? You have no one that's lost a game.
I didn't know that, but now
I mean,
that
unless
you
have a fifth-year senior that I'm not thinking of.
No,
you don't. I mean, you guys won it in 17, you won it in 18, you won it in 19.
And a lot of them haven't been around.
Right. Some of them are undefeated because they're 0-0 in the tournament.
Right.
But none of these guys that you will coach this week have ever lost a single game in the Big East tournament.
That's interesting.
And I'm just curious for you guys, because obviously you guys have had such enormous postseason success, what the message is this time of year, and if there is a bit of, at this point, a message of, guys, this is our tournament. Like, it maybe always historically wasn't, but this is our tournament now. I just don't know if that's your messaging point or how you approach it.
We actually approach it in that this is just our next game.
Okay.
This is just our next game, and we're trying to improve every game throughout the year. Now, that's always been our message. Even in some of our championship years, we felt like we were getting better. I remember in 18, we said after the game in the championship, we said, we actually, if we could play another game, we wanted to go back to practice. So we try to keep that mindset. We're just trying to get better and better every game. And then eventually the season comes to an end.
Right.
That's how we look at it.
So I guess the question is, how do you teach experience to the guys that don't know it? Do you walk them in? Do you show them the banners? Do you say, okay, so I've been here. It's hard to teach that had they not gone actually, had they not gone through it with such a young team.
It is. Every opportunity you get to get them in that building. Playing in the Big East tournament, I think, is comparable to playing in the NCAA tournament. When you play in the NCAA tournament, it's such a different vibe. And I don't know if there's another tournament in the country that has the same thing. When you go into Madison Square Garden, it's a totally different vibe.
Sure.
So when we played St. John's this year at the Garden, we made sure we got a shoot around the day of the game, just so we get the guys in there, walk them around, let them see everything. Normally, with our older teams, we don't use the shoot-around day of the game. We want to keep them fresh. But we made sure this year we went in there, spent the time in there, talked to them, let them see everything. You go in there for the first time, you're a kid, you're like, wow.
Right.
You know? So let's get through all that. We did play St. John's there. And now when you go to the tournament, you can't get in for shoot-around. So you just got to hope that game against St. John's and our walkthrough helped us kind of ease into it.
Selection Monday, millions of people will be filling out their brackets. And it'll come down to, at some point, Villanova versus, I don't know. Why should people pick Villanova?
This young group, if we're going to do it, has the chance to really improve a lot at this point in the season, because we're just
still improving.
Yeah, we've got so much potential. We got a lot of young guys that are really just coming into their own. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, our freshman big guy, is playing his best basketball. Justin Moore, another freshman, is playing his best basketball that he's played in his career, which isn't long, but he can, you know, I think his experience of going through the Big East tournament is going to help him in the NCAA tournament. So, and even our sophomores, you know, they can get a lot better. So we're a young crew that could really, we could get hot.
Okay.
You guys.
How's that for sales
job?
I'm selling myself.
Good.
No, I bought it.
I'm selling myself.
I just like
bought it. And by the way, at this point, you win the national championship every other year. 16, 18, so you're supposed to win it.
It's what you do.
It's just the history.
But how tough of a grind has it been? You guys are good. Creighton's good. Seton Hall's good. How tough has the season been?
You know, we were talking about this before. I was in the old Big East back in the day when Patrick Ewing and Chris Mullin, those guys were there. There was a grind. Even when we went to 16 teams and Louisville was in, that was a grind. We got 11 teams in the tournament that year. But this year, 7 out of our 10 teams are NCAA tournament teams. DePaul, the last place team, beat Texas Tech, won at Iowa, beat Boston College. That's the last place team. It has been the craziest grind. You know, we shake hands before the game, the coaches, we just look at each other like, holy crap, this is wild this year. We really do. That's what we say. We say this league is unbelievable.
Now it's all fist.
Well, and
true.
There you go.
No, we still
shake hands.
We'll see what we do in the tournament.
But one of the reasons you've got to be bullish on your chances, other than you know, your own confidence and your history, is you guys did beat Kansas. I understand you guys have a bunch of great. I think you guys have like 10 quad one wins. If that's, and obviously going through the conference, but Kansas, when people are filling out brackets, Kansas is a team a lot of people are going to say is going to win the whole thing. Yeah. How important is that specific win when you are talking about how good this team can be?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, Nick. I think in this team's psyche, they don't have a lot of experience, but they have that in their psyche. That is the best team, and we did beat them. Now
it's a great game too. I mean, Samuels hit the game winner,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Sold out Wells Fargo Center. It was pretty cool, but they have that, and they've done that. Now we've had some slip ups too, but not against any bad teams, just teams in our league. You know,
right.
We lost to Baylor, so that is our psyche, and that's what our strength is going to be going into this tournament.
In top three in the nation strength of schedule, so no one's going to be more battle-tested to your point about the Big East. I do want to ask you a question about some of your former players, because I haven't seen you since the NBA Finals. And Kyle Lowry, I can only
love
imagine
it.
How happy you were. And not only they got the championship, but Kyle had this weird thing where it's like game one of a playoff series, like what's wrong with Kyle?
Yeah.
And that becomes a narrative, and then you do it enough, people are like, that's just who he is. For him to have the moments that he did, particularly at the end of those NBA finals, which is like, Kawhi can get the finals MVP, and but we are not losing. Right. And then to follow it up this year without Kawhi and be like, we are the damn champs. I'm sure you've talked to him, but your level of pride seeing Kyle become what I knew you believed he could become. Yeah.
It's one of the things we try to build in our program. As a matter of fact, we wear these wristbands attitude that you can't control what happens to you in life all the time, but what you can control is your attitude going into every day. And when Kyle was going through those tough playoff times, we'd be texting each other, and when he wasn't shooting the ball well, and it was all about not what he did in his poor shooting, but how did he respond with his teammates coming in to walk through the next day? How did he respond to his teammates in the locker room? And I'm so proud of the leader he's become. You can see, especially this year, that team has taken on his personality, yes, his mental toughness, and that's really what we try to teach our guys. So he's kind of the ultimate example for us, and he's come the furthest. I don't know, you were in Philly when he was a young high school kid coming.
Yep.
He was a handful, man. That dude, yeah. Oh, he's grown so much. Great father, great husband, great alum. He's given millions of dollars to Villanova. He comes back, works out in the summers at 5:30 in the morning on our court. So our guys come on the court at 7. You got an NBA All-Star drenched in sweat coming off the court. He's everything you'd want your players to be.
Coach, I feel like we ask you this every time you're here because you're so popular in the college ranks. You mentioned being in the Garden, how awesome that was. Your name has been linked to the Knicks. You already know this. We'd be remiss if we didn't ask. This is all me leading up to you, asking you, could you see yourself coaching in the NBA?
I don't think so. I really don't. I just love where I am. I love college. I've said this a number of times, so I hate to repeat myself, but it's just the truth. I would like to coach NBA. I coached last summer with Popovich in the World Cup. I love that. The Olympics this summer, yeah. I'm coaching with Steve Kerr and Pop and Lloyd Pierce. I love coaching those guys. It's awesome. But I'd have to leave my job. Right. I just like my job, and I don't want to leave Villanova.
The only follow-up, I feel like it almost has to do with the Tom Brady discussion, which is, we talk about with Brady, why would he leave New England when it's the best place to win and all this. Yeah. And the argument I've made is sometimes, even if you have conquered this mountain, you know you can do it again, you want to see what another mountain is like.
Yeah.
I'm just curious for you, and I know how
he
much
loves
you love
his
Villanova.
Mountain, Nick. It's a great mountain.
I'm not trying to push you out of the college game.
I get you.
I just wonder if there's a part of you that has like an itch of, even if I can't get to the top of it, I wonder what that mountain's like.
Yeah, that's the balance. You do have that thought in your mind, that itch, but then you have to make a decision and just say, you know what, is it worth scratching that itch just to? Jimmy Valvano had a great line when he left Iona and went to NC State. He said, don't mess with happy. He once said the happiest he ever was at Iona, even though he loved NC State. Don't mess with happy. And I'm happy at Villanova. I love it. And I don't want to mess with it.
Well, good for you.
We love having you.
Good luck this year.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you so much. I'll shake
hands. Thanks.
For you, I will. I'm making an exception for my guy, Jay Wright. Good luck tomorrow in your quarterfinal matchup on FS1. In or out, here we go. Former Patriot Aqib Talib made some headlines yesterday talking about his former teammate Tom Brady. He said, quote, I think Tom is gone.
Okay, he's Schefter now. Thank you.
This is what you wanted to get to, Wilds. All right, Nick, I'll start with you. You in or out on the Patriots still being the most likely team for TB12 next season?
Maybe for the TB12 method, but for the player, no, I'm out.
That would be brutal if he lost that.
Yeah, no, I'm out. You know where I stand on this. I think that the moment the Patriots said to Tom, you have not earned an extension, is the moment Tom Brady started contemplating life post-Patriots. And I can only imagine the reaction of his closest friends and family when he came home from work that day. And they were like, so to get done, what's the deal? And he had to tell them they wouldn't give me a deal. And what they started saying to him then about they've never respected you, they've never appreciated you, they don't understand how great you are. And from that moment, they've been in his ear about leaving. I think he's leaving. I'm out, Imani.
I'm out, too. I think he's leaving as well. I remember talking to his family before the 2011 Super Bowl, and they were thinking that this was his last run because they know how ruthless.
A decade ago.
They know how ruthless the Patriots are. They get rid of people way before time. Remember Richard Seymour? They got rid of him.
I
and he went over to the Raiders and played well. So I think he's out. I think I don't think he's coming back. The fact that he wanted to re-up time and time again, and they were just kept, you know, saying no, wait, hold on, we'll see what happens. I don't think Tom Brady's going to be a Patriot much longer.
Wild
money.
But hold on,
it's your guy.
Aqib Talib says it, and now we're like, oh. Wake me up when Glazer says it.
Okay. Can I ask Imani a quick question before we move on?
Is it about the...
It's about the 2011 Super Bowl.
I knew this was good. Yeah.
When you walked off the field having beaten Tom Brady...
Well, I wasn't on the team.
I'm sorry. My apologies. Yeah. My apologies. But after that game, after talking to him...
Yes, yes.
Could you have possibly foreseen that he was going to go to, from that moment forward, four more of those things?
Absolutely
and win three
not.
Of them?
Absolutely not. I mean, the fact that his spread between Super Bowls, his first Super Bowl was in, what?
2001.
2001, and his last Super Bowl
was 2018.
That's incredible.
You think he's got four more Super Bowls in him, Nick?
Five. Next year.
Oh, next year. No, I don't think.
All right, let's stick with
you
Brady.
You beat him in 07.
07,
You
yes.
beat him in 07. Yeah. I forget about the Tom Brady Super Bowl losses. There's a handful of them. My bad. My apologies, Imani.
NFC East. Just don't mess with NFC East.
A recent report said the Patriots are sniffing around the trade market for receivers and tight ends to entice Brady to stay. But Imani, you in or out on Brady still being a draw for top-tier wideouts?
Absolutely. I think he's had a career of making good receivers great. I mean, Julian Edelman is a perfect example. He's a good receiver.
Great receiver.
He's a good receiver.
Right, great. No. Hall of Famer.
We found out this year that Julian Edelman cannot be a number one and cannot hold a team by himself. He needed help. The Patriots realized they needed help. They got Josh Gordon. They got Antonio Brown. They got Mohamed Sanu. They got all these people because they know Julian Edelman, great player. I'm not saying anything bad about him. He's from the Bay Area.
Hall
I love him.
Famer.
He's got third. He might have third most
hometown.
Or second. No, second most playoff receiving yards.
Okay, so
that's because he's played in a whole bunch of receivers.
He's his second most playoff minutes ever, Derek Fisher.
I'm not talking about
oh
minutes.
Oh my God.
The yards nowadays nice. With receivers, you can't look at them.
All right,
oh listen. Come on.
You can't look at them.
What do you know about wide receivers?
and Imani, this is the galaxy brain Pat fans have been doing all year, which is Brady has no help. It's not his fault. Julian Edelman's a Hall of Famer. Edelman was there. He's a Hall of Famer and he's there. So why was Brady bad? Well, Brady's not bad. It's because he didn't have enough help. But he doesn't have enough help, but he has
a Hall of Famer.
It's insanity. And by the way, with all that said, you're also wrong. I'm out. Receivers, do you think Mohamed Sanu enjoyed playing with Brady this year? Do you think N'Keal Harry enjoyed playing with Brady this year?
No, but I think he's a draw for other, like if he goes to another team, I think other receivers are going to want to go there.
Antonio Brown's going to want to go anywhere Brady goes.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think other guys, I don't know if they trust
him. All right, we got to move the boat here. Speaking of wide receivers, I just made it up. Cowboys, when you guys say things I don't get, I just roll with it.
We say our saying.
That is not true.
Let's go.
All right. Tack one on. The Cowboys talks with Amari Cooper reportedly heating up. Nick, you are not on Amari getting a deal done with the Dallas quarterback before Dak Prescott.
I'm going to drive this train forward and say I'm in. I think they get it done with Amari because I think Dak is playing a level of hardball the Cowboys are not accustomed to. And now you can say, well, Zeke played hardball. Yeah, but Zeke was arguably the best running back in football. It was just like, hey, pay me like the best running back in football. Dak's like, hey, I'm the 11th best quarterback in football and the second best quarterback in my division. Pay me the most money in the history of the league. And it's like, damn, man, that's a tough putt. So I think Amari's going to have more reasonable contract demands, and I think they're going to have to get something done with Amari so they can keep the franchise tag open for Dak. So I'm in.
I'm out because they never do the quarterback deal. I mean, the wide receiver deal. I'm a wide receiver. I wish they would, but I think they're always going to try and secure that quarterback. And that's, I think they're going to go in that direction, trying to get Dak done, even though it is hardball, even though it is a situation that they're not used to. They're going to still save every last dime, making sure that they get that quarterback because, you know, receivers, most receivers, some receivers, you know, you can get a couple guys.
So what happens to Amari?
I think he's going to wait and see what happens with Dak.
Okay.
maybe pushes this taxi forward to Green Bay.
All right. We're not moving any boats, but now I will read the next story in the prompter.
Coming back to the Patriots.
On to the best story in the NFL today. Rob Gronkowski reportedly close to finalizing a deal with the WWE, which had us thinking, Amani, you win or out on Gronk's finishing move being the Gronk spike.
I'm out. I just think
like spikes a football on a guy.
I don't think the spike is Gronk's. It's like Miley Cyrus and twerking. Like she can't just take it and claim it for herself.
Oh, you're saying he appropriated the
spike? He appropriated it. The spike has been going on for years.
He just made it bigger.
What a take.
I think
that's the best take of the day.
I think what it is
it's remember when Gronk 25.
Remember when Gronk hits he scores a touchdown and he goes like this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They should name that something, but not the Gronk spike.
Okay.
The spike is already taken. Do something else.
I love the take. Someone put it on social. Rob Gronkowski culturally appropriated the spike. I love it so much. I'm also out, though, because the finishing move clearly should be the spear. The spear is a football move. It was, I think, your guy's finishing move.
Yes.
Whose finishing move was
it? I believe it's Goldberg's finishing move, and we're here to put Goldberg on notice.
That's Goldberg.
Yes, Goldberg is Universal Champion. Now that Gronk is headed to the WWE. Watch out, Goldberg. Coming for the trophy. Oh. True champion Rob Gronkowski will add another championship to his trophy case.
Oh, okay. So the football player turned wrestler?
Probably he's the best football player turned wrestler if you don't count LT.
LT was in there.
But was LT
The Rock?
The mailman.
The Rock wasn't as good a football player as Gronk.
Okay. All right.
It's all a balance.
Got it. Okay.
Tatum helped carry Boston to a win over the Pacers last night, 30.6 boards. Celtics clinch a playoff spot for their sixth straight season. Nick, Boston clinching a playoff spot last night was blank.
Cute. It's cute.
I mean,
I love when he does this.
What?
He's like, adorable. He did it yesterday. That was adorable.
That was not about the Celtics.
I know, but I get it.
Listen, I'm a loving guy. There are a lot of things I find adorable and cute. Puppies. Small children, the Celtics title chances. These are things. They're like, oh, that's nice. And listen, I said at the beginning of the year, the Celtics, people are like, oh, you always hate on the Celtics. Before the season, check our Instagram account. Put out my season predictions. Celtics, third place prediction in the East. That's where Nick Wright had them. And we've seen this story before. The Celtics overachieved just enough to get their fans like, oh, look out. Title Town USA, here we come. Team that's won one title in 30 years. It's like, oh my goodness. Listen, man, the Celtics ain't the Red Sox. They ain't the Patriots. They ain't even the Bruins. They're the team in town that actually pulls back the overall title town of Boston. And listen, but it's nice. They made the playoffs. I'm happy for them. They made the playoffs.
I feel the same way about Milwaukee. They ain't had never won one.
Put some respect on Lou Alcindor's name, sir.
Was that the NBA then?
That was the NBA then.
It was okay.
Yes, post merger. Okay. Give me a break.
That was a long time ago. I probably was.
What's your answer, Stack?
Interesting.
Oh,
it's interesting. I mean, we can see will they benefit from that, or will it hurt them? We'll see.
Okay.
Wow. Where are
you at? I wrote Lady Gaga.
What does that even mean?
A Star is Born.
Oh, God.
Tatum's emergence
as
a super. You haven't seen?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you should see it. It's about Jason Tatum and his rise.
Superstardom.
Yeah. Replaced Jason Tatum. Pulled out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
On his ascent.
Pulled out of nowhere. It was the third pick from Duke, man.
No,
it was a bad take.
Shout out to St. Louis. St. Louis kid.
Bradley Beal finished with 40 in the win over the Knicks last night. He's now averaging over 36 points per game since the All-Star break. When Beal was asked why he wants to retire a Wizard, he said, quote, jumping ship is kind of the easy way out. Mm-hmm. Nick, Bradley still wanting to retire with the Wizards is blank.
Fiscally responsible.
Oh.
This guy gonna peel about $250 million in his career staying with the Wizards, getting a bunch of max contracts. Good for him. Listen, Bradley Beal is living, as far as stress level, the ideal NBA star-ish player's life, which is when he plays great, we're like, hey, look at how great Bradley Beal is. When he plays terribly, nobody mentions him, and his checks all cash the same. Fiscally responsible is my answer, Steven.
I think it's dope. It feels good to see some loyalty in this game. They've been taking care of him. Like you said, they've been taking care of him his whole career. It feels good, even though they're not playing well and they've been losing since he's been there. The loyalty that he's showing to the organization, I like it.
Okay.
I think it's dope.
I wrote Barkley-esque. Is he going to be the superstar? They're like, meh, never had it. Never had a title. So he's just saying, like, I don't want to, like, we don't think the Wizards are ever going to win.
Oh, well, I mean, ever's a long time.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it. That's why I'm saying it.
Okay. So he's going to be the guy from his era that was.
I guess.
Yeah,
that's why I'm saying it.
I feel I feel like Dame Lillard's more likely to be in that category because he's a little bit better than Bradley.
Get the 8 seed.
Oh yeah, upset the Lakers. Yeah,
go ahead. Melo versus LeBron. I knew it.
Neither one of them going to be playing in the postseason this year.
Yeah, correct. Confirmed.
On to the Cavs now. Interim head coach J.B. Bickerstaff celebrated his birthday yesterday by getting a 4-year contract. Nick, Cleveland giving Bickerstaff a multi-year deal is blank.
Surprising, but in a good way. The Cavs, I mean, typically just do terribly foolish things. This is not one of them. So I'm surprised. I like J.B. I like JB. He was an interim coach for the Rockets when they fired McHale. He was an interim coach for Memphis. Then they hired him and then fired him a year later. I'm glad to see him get an actual real contract and maybe some stability because you know the Cavs don't want to turn over another coach after the Beeline utter failure. So see what JB Bickerstaff can do.
Good, but means nothing. I love JB. Somebody that I've always reached out to and spoke to. I think he deserves a job, but I don't feel like this is the job for him because he's not going to get the right shot. He has a terrible team he's coaching. This is going to be similar to what they did with the coach in Atlanta. Throw somebody in there to coach while we're going through our rough times. Then when we get the great team, bring another coach in. I hope he don't have to deal with that.
The Cavs are going to get a great team win.
I'm just saying, whenever they get back to winning, if they get back to it, the normal routine is have a guy like him, just like in Atlanta. A guy come in and coach, just let him coach while the team is bad. Then when the team starts to go up, you bring another coach in. A lot of teams do that.
What's your answer?
I wrote stabilizing. I was like, this is good. Mm-hmm. The Cavs have had 4 coaches in 4 years. He signed a 4-year deal. This will stabilize the Cavs. And then Stack.
It's good, but it means
Stack
nothing.
Now I believe you. Don't.
What happened to the last coach that was there? How long was he there?
I like 40
he's
games.
He's better.
40
games. He has way more experience, too.
I don't know.
All right, this is fun. On to the latest twist in the Charles Barkley, Draymond Green beef, this time with Barkley saying Draymond is, quote, the least famous person in the boy band.
I mean,
Nick, Barkley saying this about Draymond is blank.
Too complimentary.
Stop it.
I'd say he's the roadie.
Maybe
the sound guy. Like the person that comes, you know, warms up the crowd beforehand. I don't know that he's, I mean, how many people are in this band? I mean, like there's Steph. He's the lead singer. There's Clay.
Yeah.
We call him the guitarist. KD was there. KD was like that awesome drummer.
Played instruments.
Steve Kerr's something.
I don't.
You know what I mean?
Steve Kerr.
You ever listened to
Steve
a boy
Kerr's
band?
Steve Kerr's a part
of the band?
Yeah. He's a part
my
of it.
God.
The boy, they don't play the instruments, the boy bands.
I got Epic, and Chuck's a little off. When you have a band, just say New Edition.
There we go.
You have Ref Trezvant. You have Ronnie DeVoe. You have Michael Bivins.
Mm-hmm.
But the most famous person was Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Draymond. The most troublesome guy is always the most famous.
That's fantastic.
So, Chuck, you're a little wrong. Draymond is the most famous. He's at the fashion shows. He's always out. He's communicating with all the celebs. Draymond is not the least most famous guy in that group. He might be the most famous.
Okay. Wow.
What's your answer?
Bobby Brown.
I put Barkley-esque on this one.
Again?
Yeah, double. A, it's efficient, saves me some creative energy.
Esk.
2, Barkley on the dream team.
What?
Bro,
Kim, stop it.
What do you mean
Barkley
stop it?
Barkley was the best player.
What? What'd you
he
just say?
He played the best in those Olympics.
He played great.
He played the best in those Olympics.
He probably played the best.
He did. He played the best in those Olympics.
Jordan. I don't know.
He wasn't the best player. Jordan was obviously the best player. But Barkley played the best. Come on, folks.
He had he had mismatch problems all over the court.
I know Jordan. Was it a Croatian fella? Who's the fella he hit in the chest?
Angola.
Oh, boy, that was bad.
But it's a team of stars. Everyone's good.
I guess. Jenna time. Go ahead, Jenna.
Oh. Thanks, Mike. I thought you had another. Steven. What? Thank you.
Nice.
I don't even know what I'm going to do with it. You're amazing. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.